Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
You're going to shatter that barrier. I have never been more proud of a nominee than I am of you. You've been candid to this body about who you are, what you believe. You've been reassuring in your disposition. And this is history being made, folks. This is the first time in American history that we've nominated a woman who's unashamedly pro-life, embraces her faith without apology, and she's going to the court.
That gave me chills yesterday. As a matter of fact, when I listened to the entire clip of Lindsey Graham, Senator Lindsey Graham, I actually got all choked up. And we're going to share that with you in the 2 cent segment at the bottom of the hour. Also, a really stunning and powerful opening statement from Senator Blackburn. I just love her, of Tennessee. She's such a strong pro-life senator. And both of them talking about what this represents. I posted it on Facebook last night. A really cool story from the Washington Examiner saying that she's not only, as Lizzie Graham says, breaking through the glass ceiling, but punching a hole in a concrete barrier. Now, here's why. We know that women have made great strides, and women like Ruth Bader Ginsburg, of course, Sandra Day O'Connor, so many other women in politics and in medicine and in science and all different sorts of careers, right? And that's a good thing. That's a very good thing. But out there in the culture, those of us who are moving forward with what we believe God has given us to do and trying to use our gifts to the best of our ability, whether they're in the home, our vocation as wives and moms, or in the workforce, or both, that unless we fit a certain narrative, we've basically been ignored, been pushed aside, and if we dare go into the public spotlight, then we are mocked terribly and made to look as if there is no one else like us out there. The condescending questions from women, especially, that came at Amy Coney Barrett, putting her down, sometimes chuckling with the smirks about her family life. It was so demeaning and so just awful, especially on the part of women who can't support other sisters out there. Reminds me so much of what we see every year at the March for Life, when so many women and men, but of course many, many women, stand there in the freezing cold in front of the Supreme Court and share their gut-wrenching stories of what abortion did to their lives. And they're ignored, and they're also attacked and mocked. I almost cried. I almost burst into tears one year when I saw a woman holding a sign, facing it toward the women, giving their testimonies. And the sign said, "Get over it." And now I pray for those people, as I prayed for those who were attacking Amy Coney Barrett, and of course covering Amy Coney Barrett in prayer. But what we saw was a woman who, as gentle and as calm as she was, is one tough cookie. Well, she's a mom of seven, so that goes without saying. But she held her ground. She was very quick on her feet. She did not need notes. While every single senator on both sides of the political aisle needed notes, had everything typed out for them, she was speaking off the cuff, and she pulled out case law after case law after case after case after decision, and stuck to her guns and would not let them pin her down so they could have a headline in their own October surprise about what this judge chosen by President Trump to replace the late Ruth Bader Ginsburg, what she's doing to frighten America. So a very, very important day yesterday. Things are wrapping up today before the vote in about 8 or 9 days, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. Another big day, which I think ties in nicely, is a feast day today. The first female doctor of the church, St. Teresa of Avila, my favorite saint in the whole wide world and church. She is my gal. She is awesome. And I just love her to pieces. And I did not realize this. Deacon Dom came home from 7 o'clock Mass today and said, "Have you done the readings yet?" And I had my Magnificat on my desk, but I didn't have a chance to open it before the show because I was so busy pulling bites and whatnot for you and trying to keep you updated. And I said, "Well, I was going to, but I haven't had a chance yet." And he said, "Well," he said, "the church has specific," and we know this, he was explaining this to me again, though, "the church has specific readings set aside for the actual feast days, and then there's the daily Mass readings." He said, "Did you know that the fixed reading for the feast day of St. Teresa of Avila happens to be your favorite verse from the Gospel of St. John. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man abides in me, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And not a good thing to tell me right before I go on the air, because I got very, very emotional. Because that verse, I found it long ago when I was first coming back to the church. And even though I've always loved Teresa of Avila growing up, I had no idea that that verse was associated with her feast day. So there she is, hitting me upside the head again, as she always does. My favorite saint, my gal, St. Teresa of Avila, pray for us. And she was one feisty sister. When she was a child of 7 years old, she ran away from home, from her home in Avila, Spain, in the hopes of being martyred by the Moors. Being brought back and asked the reason of her flight, she said, "I want to see God, and I must die before I can see him." She then began with her brother to build a hermitage in the garden and was often heard repeating, "Forever, forever." Some years later, she became a Carmelite nun. Frivolous conversations checked her progress toward perfection, but at last, in her 31st year, she gave herself totally to God. A vision showed her at the very place in hell to which her own light faults would have led her, and she lived ever after the deepest distrust of self. She was called to reform her Carmelite order, favored with distinct commands from our Lord. Her heart was pierced, and there's a beautiful image, the Bernini statue of the piercing of St. Teresa of Avila in Rome. If you ever have a chance to see it, you should go see it. But she dreaded nothing so much as delusion, and she always, always was obedient to Christ. And it made her stronger in terms of the struggles. She was greatly persecuted by the church, by her own sisters. She died October 4th, 1582, and her feast day is today. So many great quotes from St. Teresa of Avila. My favorite is, "If this is the way you treat your friends, Lord, no wonder you have so few." Her famous poem, of course, "Let nothing disturb you, nothing frighten you. All things are passing. God never changes. Patience obtains all things. Nothing is wanting in him who accepts God. God alone suffices." But another poem that I'll share with you also in two cents that is not that known, that I discovered when I was in Avila. Steve Ray and I did a pilgrimage on the 500th anniversary of her birth a couple of years ago. Took two busloads. It was awesome. And I was walking through one of her convents, and I came across this poem, "Into the Hands of God," and it hit me like a ton of bricks, and I was not ready for it. And then I got home, and I really felt her tugging at me and saying, "You know, you're going to be forced to go deep." And I'm like, I thought I already was kind of going deep. So I looked up the poem when I got home and read the whole thing, and it was about total submission and humility. And right about that time when I got home, if you recall, this was about, I think, 5 years ago, I became very ill and I had damaged my vocal cords extensively. And my wonderful doctor, Dr. Rubin, who's excellent, who works with people who work in the voice industry, music industry, speakers, anchors, musicians, vocalists, etc., later told me, "I did not know if your vocal cords were ever going to be coming back to full strength. That's how bad it was." Anyhow, I was off the air for about 6 weeks. I could not talk at all. And so I just read a lot and wrote a lot and dove into this poem, "Into the Hands of God," which I'll share with you at the bottom of the hour. I also want to share with you at 8:15, a few more comments from Senator Graham and also Senator Blackburn. I mean, this is history, as he said, in the making. This is our moment. This is an opportunity for us to have young women and women of all ages look to Amy Coney Barrett as an example of real feminism. This is what they told us we could do, sisters, when we were growing up. Oh, you can have a home. You can do whatever you want. You could be in the workforce. But what they didn't tell us, and they sold us a big bill of goods, as I always say, is that you could only have a political persuasion that fits in this little box. You have to be pro-abortion, you have to be all in for the so-called sexual revolution, birth control, doing anything that you want with whomever, and you have to be willing at a moment's notice to stomp on your family and put them aside, all for the sake of your career. And if you dare stray from that agenda, we will make mincemeat out of you. They tried, but they couldn't do it. Remember the movie and the play Unsinkable Molly Brown? I think we should come up with a new one. The Unflappable Amy Coney Barrett. Yes. All right. So coming up today, at the bottom of the hour, after 2 cents, yours and mine, we'll check in with our friends at Right to Life of Michigan, taking a look at what's coming up in the election. Genevieve Marnin is a legislative director for Right to Life, and they have some great information on their website giving you an idea. It's the easiest thing to do if you're looking at all these different positions and you're like, what in the world? How do I know these people are pro-life? And I don't care if they're the local dog catcher or the county commissioner. We have to be careful because they start at some position and move up. Right to Life is there to help us figure it all out. All right, so I mentioned earlier this week that I'm starting 2 new segments on the show, and the plan right now is for us to keep this on until the election, possibly afterwards. Well, today we're going to start our faith versus feelings because I've received so many emails and messages on Facebook of people who are all about their feelings. I feel this, I feel that. They see something in the secular media, they automatically believe it. They don't even question if something happened or if someone or some candidate did something, but they already say, this is why I'm voting this way, and this summarizes my feelings. Well, you know what? It's not all about you and your feelings. As Catholics, we are supposed to be looking at the big picture as in the common good. It doesn't mean that you can't think about things and pray about it and say, you know, I'm struggling with this. But at the end of the day, if your feelings cause you to act in direct opposition, I don't care how hard you've prayed with the church and core teachings, then guess what? Go back to the chapel and pray again. Begin again, as St. Teresa of Avila said. So we're going to talk about this with our very own Ralph Martin. He is, of course, with Sacred Heart Major Seminary and before that and still is with the amazing Renewal Ministries. Heard and seen on EWTN and Ave Maria Radio for years, The Choices We Face, and does a great job, has a new book out as well, A Church in Crisis, Pathways Forward. But he put together a powerful video reflection on what's happening in this election and what's at stake for Catholics and others, just in general the country, but what this means for Catholics who vote against their faith. He was on earlier this month for his new book, A Church in Crisis, Pathways Forward. But when I saw the video, which, by the way, I posted on Facebook, I wanted to bring him on to discuss this further. And then we'll wrap up with the new president of Ave Maria University. His name is Christopher Ice, and he's going to be hosting us when we take our pilgrimage, myself and Kelly Walquist from WINE, Women in the New Evangelization. Normally, Kel and I would be in Italy getting ready to pack for Italy, but we can't do that because of COVID, so we can travel around the U.S. safely. And we are going to have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. We are going to do a post-election weekend, November 5th through the 8th. We are staying at the gorgeous resort of the Ritz-Carlton, putting on the Ritz, and this one is at the golf course, but we have access for free to the beaches. There's a shuttle bus that goes over to the beach resort. We're going to have a prayer service on the beach. We're going to have an Ave Maria University special presentation. We'll go to the campus. We'll also go through the Museum of Mother Teresa. Kelly and I will be giving talks, and you'll have plenty of time to do some early Christmas shopping in beautiful Naples, Florida, and also just spend some relaxing time in the sunshine and take a break from all of this craziness. For more information, just go to our page, avemariaradio.net, and click on Pilgrimage. And if you have any questions, you can always email me or Kelly. Kelly can be found at catholicvineyard.com. And, of course, you can email me through my website at teresatomio.com. A little bit cooler, a little bit wet today, but the sun is going to come out tomorrow, according to the weather forecasters. And we'll talk a little bit more about the weather later in the program. But already 8:14, so we need to get to the news. And, boy, is it a busy morning. Supreme Court nominee Amy Coney Barrett's confirmation hearings wrapping up. The meeting of the Senate Judiciary Committee begins at 9 Eastern. Committee Chair Lindsey Graham expected to schedule a vote for October 22nd. Meanwhile, as you heard at the top of the hour, Lindsey Graham saying Amy Coney Barrett is making history as an unashamedly pro-life conservative.
So this hearing to me is an opportunity to not punch through a glass ceiling, but a reinforced concrete barrier around conservative women, you're going to shatter that barrier. I have never been more proud of a nominee than I am of you. You've been candid to this body about who you are, what you believe. You've been reassuring in your disposition. And this is history being made, folks. This is the first time in American history that we've nominated a woman who's unashamedly pro-life, embraces her faith without apology, and she's going to the court.
Yes. At this week's Senate confirmation hearings, Barrett presented herself as a judge with deeply held personal and religious beliefs, but vowing to keep an open mind on cases coming before the Supreme Court if she's confirmed. Meanwhile, Senator Marsha Blackburn from Tennessee, who also serves on the Judiciary Committee, saying although there have been several women, five exactly, to come before the panel, Judge Barrett is treated differently because of her being a strong woman of faith.
What they're trying to do is to convince the American people that they should be terrified of Judge Amy Coney Barrett. If you listen closely to their full statements, it betrays their true intent. If you go back through the transcript, you're going to find not a coherent legal counterargument, but a panic stump speech on behalf of their controversial platform. Rather than reviewing your judicial philosophies, they're instead choosing to project their own desires and their fears onto the American people. It sounds as if they are trying to create a panic.
President Trump, of course, nominating the 48-year-old judge to fill the seat of the late Ruth Bader Ginsburg. In other news this morning, a case brought by the Diocese of Brooklyn against New York's new restrictions on public gatherings heard by a federal court today. The state has put caps on attendance at indoor masses at some churches in the diocese over spikes of coronavirus at just 10 people. 10. 10! The diocese immediately filed a lawsuit against the state after the restrictions were announced earlier this month, saying over two dozen churches would basically be closed by the restrictions. But you can have hundreds, thousands protesting, rioting in the streets. Oh, because they're wearing masks. Meanwhile, the churches have gone through such lengths to follow health regulations and restrictions, yet we can only have 10 people, and most of these churches are certainly large enough to spread people apart. Unbelievable, but then again, maybe not. Catholics in Northern California praying for peace. They held a peaceful rally yesterday, or actually Tuesday evening, at the former site of the statue of St. Sarah. The prayerful event was held after rioters pulled the statue down outside St. Raphael's Catholic Church in San Rafael on Columbus Day on Monday. St. Sarah, an 18th-century Franciscan priest and missionary, is viewed by some leftist activists as a symbol of colonialism and of the abuses that many Native Americans suffered after contact with Europeans. However, historians say the missionary actually protested those abuses and sought to fight colonial oppression. While many Native people did suffer horrific abuse, activists tend to conflate the abuse suffered long after the saint's death with the period when Sarah was actually alive and building the very missions. Pope Francis canonized Sarah in 2015 during a visit to the U.S. President Trump and former Vice President Joe Biden fielding questions from voters this evening in televised town halls. Both begin at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Trump will be on NBC and Biden on ABC. The New York Post, meanwhile, responding to censorship by Facebook and Twitter after the paper says the social media giants made efforts to keep a major lid on the Post story that broke yesterday concerning Hunter Biden's emails, which suggest he did take cash or access to his father, Joe Biden. The publication says their exclusive was trending all Wednesday morning on social media platforms until big tech stepped in to run protection for the Democratic presidential candidate, Facebook announcing it would censor the story by, quote, reducing its distribution. The Post also saying Twitter intervened to protect Biden from the scandal by blocking the Post's Twitter account at New York Post, claiming the story violated its, quote, rules against distribution of hacked material. Links to the story were tagged by Twitter with a warning message. Warning, warning, Will Robinson, danger approaching. Don't let the truth hit you upside the head. This link has been identified by Twitter or our partners as being potentially harmful. Meanwhile, White House Press Secretary Kayleigh McEnany on Wednesday was locked out of her personal Twitter account for sharing the Post bombshell cover story on Hunter Biden's alleged hard drive and an email directly linking Joe Biden to his son's job at a Ukrainian energy company, according to the New York Post. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, this is another reason why I'm starting this segment tomorrow, fact versus fiction. They control it. They want you to see a particular narrative. And the minute the truth gets out there, they are there to shut down stories that they think will expose what's really going on. We saw this, for example, in the hearings this week, trying to paint Amy Coney Barrett as a particular, you know, type of a judge who's just going to be crazy, and she's just going to take the president and Antonin Scalia's agenda and just go in there and go crazy in the Supreme Court. And I love what she said when she responded, gee, I hope you don't think, I think it was Senator Coons, she said, I hope you don't think I don't have my own mind. Well, yeah, they think that you are just a walking, talking billboard for everything they can't stand, and that you're a mouthpiece, when, quite frankly, just the opposite is true. Anyway, President Trump is criticizing Joe Biden, meanwhile, over that news report that claimed his son, Hunter Biden, connected a Ukrainian businessman with his father while he was vice president.
Joe Biden has been blatantly lying about his involvement in his son's corrupt business dealings. And this is a big smoking gun.
President blaming the media for not looking into the story more. Attorney General Bill Barr says Americans did not leave to live with high levels of violent crime as he touts the success of Operation Legend in Albuquerque.
Violent crime is solvable. It's not something people have to live with at the levels they're living with it. And here in Albuquerque, Albuquerque has violent crime rate that's between 3 and 4 times the national average. That's unacceptable.
Barr said most violent crimes are committed by a small number of people, and if you get those repeat offenders off the streets, the violence will indeed go down. It's 8:21 already on a rainy, cloudy Thursday morning. We are going to get a little bit more rain today, a little cooler, high in the 50s, and then the sun coming out, as I said earlier, tomorrow and most of the weekend looking to be pretty nice, a little bit warmer. Very, very nice weather to go out there and enjoy the colors and the apples and the cider and all that great stuff. When we come back, how fitting that St. Teresa of Avila's feast day is today. Another strong woman, and I'm sure she was interceding for Amy Coney Barrett during this very, very tough week. But you know what? We've got a lot to celebrate today. St. Teresa of Avila, pray for us. We'll be right back.
Welcome to Advanced Dentistry Center family. This is Dr. Metti, and our team strives to treat you like family in a loving and compassionate way as we focus on serving you in a Christ-like manner. We do this by emphasizing prevention and general well-being for a lifetime. Our private practice is small, personal, state-of-the-art, and innovative, with the goal to educate and motivate our patients in improving their oral health. It is through a partnership with you that you will achieve the goals for your smile. Advanced Dentistry is serious about the level of care we provide, with attention to details and an exceptional level of care, skill, and judgment. We are thrilled for the opportunity to serve you.
Dr. Matty and the team invite you to visit them at AdvancedDentistryCenter.com or call them at 248-594-9592. That's 248-594-9592. AdvancedDentistryCenter.com.
Hi there, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
Research shows that when families openly live and share their faith together, they're more able to respond positively to the challenges they face every day.
So if you're looking for help in creating that joyful place where each member of your family experiences life as a gift from God, then you will want to check out our book, Discovering God Together, The Catholic Guide for Raising Faithful Kids.
You can find this book on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net.
It's Jeep Adventure Days at Pinckney Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Come shop their over 10 acres of loaded vehicles marked down to the lowest prices of the year. If you're in the market for a new vehicle and would love to be treated with dignity and respect, look no further. Pinckney Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram has payments as low as $199 per month on new 2020 Jeep Compasses or $239 a month on 2020 Jeep Gladiators. Or get behind the wheel of a new 2020 Jeep Wrangler for as low as $212 a month. Come in and experience the difference during Jeep Adventure Days. Shop online at PinckneyChrysler.com.
Now, all I have is now. To be faithful, to be holy, and to shine, lighting up the darkness right now. I really have no choice but to voice the truth to the nations. Generation looking for God for such a time.
for such a time as this in the Book of Esther, right? And ties directly into the feast day today for St. Teresa of Avila, first female doctor of the Church. And she has this beautiful, powerful poem. She was mostly known for, of course, Let Nothing Disturb You, that poem, which is beautiful. I have that printed all over and posted all over my office. But this one, Into the Hands of God, is so powerful. And that ties in directly, actually, with Amy Coney Barrett. And she's a strong woman of faith. She's a prayer warrior. She's a mother of seven. She has a wonderful, supportive husband. She just is such a great example of, you know, this servant. And this really is what the world has a hard time with, because they can't comprehend that you can be, you know, have this giving heart and putting others first and still be successful. Because so many people have been misled, and many of us fell into that category, right? Where we were told it is all about you, and that the only way you can be successful is to be selfish. And yet here is this woman who has given so much, not only to her family and her children, but also to the world by using her amazing intellect, you know, to serve in law, but then also to talk to young people about the importance of what it means. And she has spoken at many a Catholic event featuring young people interested in law, I believe at Notre Dame and maybe even at Steubenville and elsewhere. And oh, that came up yesterday too. How dare you try to influence young people and mention that God, I'm paraphrasing of course, that God has anything to do with this. They cannot comprehend it. That's how far the world is away from anything remotely Christian. Because they've done whatever they've wanted to do at the expense of whomever. And so I think, as I've been saying, we need to pray for them, because there is a lot of pain and a lot of shock that there are women like Amy Coney Barrett who actually exist, and many of them. She is an example of so many of the women we know, and that includes many of you, as I said on my Facebook page last night when I put the link up to Lindsey Graham's powerful statement. We're not just breaking through this glass ceiling. We are punching a major fist for God through a glass, through a concrete barrier. Take a listen to his comments.
So this hearing to me is an opportunity to not punch through a glass ceiling, but a reinforced concrete barrier around conservative women. You're going to shatter that barrier. I have never been more proud of a nominee than I am of you. You've been candid to this body about who you are, what you believe. You've been reassuring in your disposition. And this is history being made, folks. This is the first time in American history that we've nominated a woman who's unashamedly pro-life, embraces her faith without apology, and she's going to the court. A seat at the table is waiting on you. And it will be a great signal to all young women who share your view of the world, that there's a seat at the table for them. This won't be celebrated in most places. It'd be hard to find much commentary about this moment in American history. But in many of our worlds, this will be celebrated. This has been a long time coming, and we have arrived. So I want to thank President Trump for giving you the opportunity to showcase your talents. I believe that Justice Sotomayor and Kagan were incredibly qualified women of great character, disposition, and integrity, and I believe the same about you.
Wow. Did that give you the chills in terms of leaving such an example, giving such an example for future women, conservative women? And respectfully paying tribute to the other Supreme Court justices, which is fine, and they too had their own share of breaking through various glass ceilings. Nobody's taking that away from them. But as the senator said, this is a very, very different situation where you have someone who is an extremely strong Catholic, who knows her faith, who lives it, who is unashamedly, as he said, pro-life, and did not flinch at any time during these hearings. Stuck to her guns, was respectful, never lost her temper, and just basically laid it out there what a judge is supposed to do. and that is not to go in with their own agenda, which is what the left wants to do. See, it's all projection. And rewrite the laws to fit their particular platforms, their radical platforms, as Senator Blackburn said. And this is really, I think, directly tied into our saint for today. October is such a phenomenal month with so many great saints. Saint Teresa of Avila, I was named after her. My favorite saint of all time, I have many. Catherine of Siena, I love Blessed Pierre Giorgio Frassati, and so many others, Mother Teresa. I love Saint Benedict, I love Saint Scholastica. But St. Teresa of Avila has always been my favorite. And not just because I was named after her. I did some reading about her and just got a kick out of her personality. But she was the one who just finally, after a lot of struggle, totally submitted to God. And this reading from John 15:5 that is a reading for the memorial of St. Teresa of Avila. And again, it's my favorite reading in all of Scripture. And I did not know until my husband reminded me of that today or told me that. That's the reading for this day, for this particular feast day, John 15:5. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man abides in me, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And I found that reading, and it hit me like a ton of bricks on our way back to the Catholic Church when Deacon Dom and I were in a Protestant Bible study, a beautiful non-denominational Bible study. This is over, 25 years ago. And because it hit me right between the eyes because of the way I had been living my life, thinking I could do it all by myself. And then I realized that, oh, you are God and I am not. Well, to make a long story short, when I went to Avila about 5 years ago with Steve Ray, we had a beautiful pilgrimage. We went to Fatima, Lourdes, and Avila. It was incredible. And this was starting with the feast of St. Teresa of Avila, the 500th anniversary of her birthday. This is where I discovered this poem that I'm going to share with you. And it ties in with the reading today. And it ties in with the way, God willing, our soon-to-be new Supreme Court Justice, Amy Coney Barrett, obviously has lived her life. Because she's dedicated it to God by first being a servant. And that's the other thing, as I said earlier, that scares people, this term handmaid, because I don't believe it's used anymore with people of praise, but so what if it still is? Look it up in Scripture. And anybody who claims to be a Christian and picks on that name and says it's bad or oppressive to women, I would say you are insulting the Theotokos, the God-bearer. I am the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to thy word. And what is better than submitting to the creator of the universe, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end? And somebody loves you that much that he dies on a cross for you when he's God? And that's a bad thing? And look, those of us who've reverted to the faith or converted, we all get it. We know where they're coming from. And a lot of it, I'm sure, is from a place of pain, especially as regards to abortion. Because that pain is long-lasting, never goes away completely if you talk to men and women who are post-abortive, but there is forgiveness and healing through Jesus. And I would venture to say, knowing as much as I do about post-abortion syndrome, that a lot of this is based on that. 7 children. 1 beautiful little boy is a special needs child. 2 of her children are adopted. She works full-time. Her husband has a full-time law practice. In the eyes of the world, none of this makes sense or is possible. And on top of that, she is faithful. She prays. And so there's so much going on here, folks, that's not just about what they view in terms of the way she approaches the law, because she's not an activist judge, which is what they want. It's so much more than that. There's a whole spiritual realm to this. And that's why we really do need to continue to pray. Pray for this election, pray for pro-life leaders, but also pray for those people who are attacking her. Because it does come in many, many ways from a place of pain. When you look at the divorce rate, when you look at broken families, when you see so many people really struggling, they've bought into everything that the sexual revolution, that the culture said would make them happy. And it hasn't. And it's really tough to look in the mirror and say, oh my gosh, I've really messed up, and I've got to turn this around because what I've been told is a big, fat lie. And so what you do, and I'm speaking from experience, if you don't accept it, and it took me a while to do that, it didn't happen overnight, is you fight it, you attack, you insult, you push people away. Because this can't possibly be true. And if you can push this aside, if you can push these people aside, then you don't have to deal with it, or so you think. So really, this whole thing is a spiritual battle that we're seeing being played out right before our eyes like never before. This whole idea of submission is misunderstood, and it scares the heck out of people. When, as our Lord tells us in the reading for St. Teresa of Avila today, it is the best thing to do and the most important thing to do with your life. And look at Amy Coney Barrett. This group, People of Praise, is beautiful, ecumenical, charismatic group. What do? They serve people. They pray for each other. Oh, that's such a horrible thing. Run for your lives! But that kind of servitude in a good way is scary. Why? Because our sinful human nature tells us that, okay, I get that you're God and everything, but you can't possibly have a better plan for my life than I have. And we want to stick with our plan and what we want to do. And this is exactly what's being played out. As Ecclesiastes says, there's nothing new under the sun. Everything we're seeing boils down, obviously, to the big issue of abortion, but deeper than that is the sin of pride. I know better. It's my body. I can do what I want. And how dare you come along, Amy Coney Barrett, and defy that? And then on top of it, she's very respectful. She never lost her temper. I don't know how she did not lose her temper because it was so condescending. Vanessa Den Hagamero and I, she's Chaldean and I'm 100% Italian, we were both talking, you know, our Mediterranean tempers, they would have been turning over the tables and throwing water pitchers and water bottles around. It was just, I had to turn it off, especially when that, I can't even believe she's in office, that senator from Hawaii had the audacity to ask her if she ever committed sexual assault. All to make her look bad and to try to puff themselves up. But again, we have to pray for them because this is a great witnessing opportunity. Do you know that the people in the United States, Americans, were saying that now the numbers shot up in terms of wanting her to be nominated? Because her personality, her obviously, her calmness, her faith, her ability to think off the top of her head and pull out case after case after case, and then she held up that empty notebook, which was like, I thought, me the moment of the whole, you know, 3 days of hearings. It was just such an example. And people are saying, well, she's not this crazy, you know, activist that people are making out to be. The media want to paint a particular narrative, just like they're doing now with this whole Biden story, which is sinful. And I'm not telling you for whom to vote. I'm just saying that you are being lied to because they're trying to restrict information. Tomorrow I'm going to talk about this huge sin of omission in the media, and this is a big example of it. But they want to put a particular idea in your head and then force you to try to stick to it. But they couldn't because she knows the secret, and that secret is submission to God. That's where she gets her peace. And that's why she's so successful. God doesn't say you can't be, quote-unquote, successful. It's not money. It's the love of money. There were plenty of people in the church and in Scripture that were incredible leaders, incredibly accomplished, incredibly well-educated. But they knew at the end of the day that it wasn't all about them when they finally had their own come-to-Jesus moments, that it was about God. And this is what Amy Coney Barrett gives to us. And boy, you better be putting this out there for all the girls, or if you're in education, if you have an opportunity to talk about this as an educator to young girls and to young boys, to high schools, to colleges, this is the kind of woman that we need to look up to because of who she is in terms of her self-sacrifice and her beautiful, peaceful nature, which comes from her prayer life, obviously. Because she did what St. Teresa of Avila did, put herself in the hands of God. And I'll wrap up with this. And this is, again, into the hands of God. I love this. I am yours and born of you. What do you want of me? Majestic, sovereign, unending wisdom, kindness pleasing to my soul, God sublime, one being good, behold this one so vile. Singing of her love to you, what do you want of me? Yours you made me, yours you saved me, yours you called me, yours you awaited me, yours I did not stray. What do you want of me? Good Lord, what do you want of me? What is this wretch to do? What work is this, a sinful slave to do? Look at me, sweet love. Sweet love, look at me. What do you want of me? In your hand I place my heart, body, life, soul, deep feelings and affections mine. Spouse, redeemer, sweet, myself offered now to you. What do you want of me? Give me death. Give me life. Health or sickness, honor or shame, war or swelling peace, weakness or full strength. Yes, I say to thee, what do you want of me? Give me wealth or want, happiness or gloominess, heaven or hell, sweet life, sun unveiled. To you I give all. What do you want of me? Give me the wisdom or for love ignorance, years of abundance or hunger and famine, darkness or sunlight. Move me here or there. What do you want of me? Silent or speaking, fruit-bearing or barren, my wounds shown by the law, rejoicing in the tender gospel, sorrowing or exalting, you alone live in me. What do you want of me? Yours I am, for you I was born. Yours I am, for you I was born. What do you want of me? And this is what we hear in the reading for the feast day of St. Teresa of Avila in the Gospel. John 15:5. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you abide in me, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And so, St. Teresa of Avila, our feast for today, and Amy Coney Barrett remind us of the most important thing, using our gifts totally for God. And then who knows what will come about, but eventually God will use it for such a time as this. We'll be right back. Welcome back, 8:46. So appreciate the great work of Right to Life, including our guest this morning, frequent guest of ours, Genevieve Martin, Legislative Director for Right to Life of Michigan. And I so appreciate your website because it's so easy just to go to your website, Genevieve, and figure out, because we see all these different folks running for office, and if we're not familiar with them, it can be hard. If they're not, let's say, already in office or we're not familiar with them again, we may not know their background. So your website makes it really easy to figure out. Good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, that personalized pro-life ballot generator has been a huge hit. You can go to rtl.org, click on the election link, drop down your personalized pro-life ballot, put in your name, zip code, and boom, all of the endorsed candidates will pop up in your area. Fantastic.
Makes it very easy. All right, so let me get your thoughts as the legislative director of Right to Life in Michigan. We were chatting during the break about Judge Amy Coney Barrett. Your thoughts?
She is a rock star. I watched some of that hearing, and I'm screaming at the television, and she is just stoic.
I said just to my husband, unflappable.
Unflappable. Yeah. I said, I am never playing poker with that woman, ever. The best poker face ever.
Yeah. Oh, just
but
amazing.
She was brilliant. I mean, her legal acumen was on complete display. She had full grasp of the legal, you know, precedent and a complete understanding of the law, which is, it was very impressive.
The thing that was so frustrating to me is that so many of the cases that the liberals brought out were totally misrepresented. And I think they were baiting her to try to get into an argument about what was actually going on, because they were using it obviously to put this is a campaign effort. This wasn't about her hearing. This was about their opportunity to attack the president again, and she wouldn't go for it. She just stuck to the topic at hand and kept repeating as if to say, what part of this don't you understand, right?
And a couple of the cases that they brought up, she absolutely, just brilliantly took them down with the explanation of the case, what the case was about, what it did, what it didn't do, what she, her involvement in the case. I mean, it was the most beautiful smackdown I've ever seen on a couple of these cases. And to me, one of the best moments of the hearing was like a mic drop moment when she held up that empty pad of
I know.
Paper.
Yeah.
No notes. I'm like, wow.
And meanwhile, you have all these senators who have pages and pages of notes, are reading their statements and kept going down and looking up and looking off camera, not knowing what they were saying or doing. And they just really tried, they were condescending and insulting, but she just answered the question. So God bless her, and we hope this is a smooth process from here on out. My understanding is that Lindsey Graham is setting the date of October 22nd for the vote, so we'll see what happens. All right, let's talk about yes, absolutely. Let's talk about some other efforts you're involved in, including a virtual fundraiser. Tell us about that.
So because our normal annual, we have affiliate dinners all around the state. We usually hold about 100 of them a year. Different mm-hmm. groups will get together and we'll have speakers and dinners, and it's great. It's a wonderful opportunity. It's fundraisers, but it's also a great opportunity to get together in your local community. Well, with COVID, we weren't able to host most of those dinners. So unfortunately, like so many others, we had to move to a virtual format. And so this is our historic first. We've never done this. It is a virtual fundraising event featuring Sarah Huckabee Sanders. And I will tell you, I've been involved in a lot of these virtual events because, that's what we've had to do. I'm not trying to toot my own horn, but ours was really, really, really well done. I mean, top shelf, high quality, extremely well done. And I encourage everybody to go to rtl.org. Or the website for the virtual event is We Are Not Giving Up on Life, all one word. We Are Not Giving Up on Life.org. It's going to be played 24/7 from now until the election. Go on, register, get a password, have a watch party. That's what I did. Friends over. Great opportunity to have wine and cheese and crackers. It was great.
Notgivinguponlife.org. That's the website. Mm-hmm. Looking at it. Notgivinguponlife.org. Because I have something a little bit different. I have Not Giving Up on Life, but we are not giving up on life.
Yeah, or right. You can go to rtl.org and link to it there, too.
All right, that's probably easier. Just go to the main page, yeah. rtl.org, because everything's there. Mm-hmm. Genevieve Martin is a legislative director of Right to Life of Michigan. So with just a few minutes left, and again, I'm sorry I'm late, but I was just so passionate about St. Teresa and Amy Coney Barrett on the same day. I'm like, ooh, I have to get it out. What can we do? What do you think for pro-lifers? What do we need to do in addition to praying?
So pray, of course. Fast, pray if you can, that you should do. But if you can, we encourage everyone to roll up their sleeves, dig in deep, and work like you've never worked before for the next 20 days until the election. I love to quote St. Augustine, who said, work as though everything depended upon you. Pray as though everything depended on God.
Mm-hmm.
It's so true. But get out the vote efforts at Right to Life. We're doing phone calls. I'm going to be working the phones today, making get out the vote calls. Because it doesn't matter if you're pro-life if you don't vote.
Right.
You need to vote. You need to get people to the polls. If you can do door-to-door knocking for pro-life candidates, which I will be doing on Saturday in Bay City for one of our pro-life endorsed candidates, there are all kinds of opportunities around the state if you're able to go door-to-door, dropping off literature, knocking on the doors for candidates. The other thing we recommend is if you can be at a polling location on election day with a pro-life ballot, and you can get those online, and just stand out the polls. Hey, do you want a pro-life voter guide? Can you have a pro-life voter guide? And a lot of times people will go into the polls and say, oh, no, I know who I'm voting for. Don't forget to say, do you know who you're voting for on the judges?
Mm-hmm.
We saw that judges are so important, and people, because they aren't paying attention, they're nonpartisan, they don't know who the endorsed judges are.
And they check important. Off button. Yeah, exactly. So.
Yep. So those are some three practical things you can do with regard. RTL.org, find your local affiliate, get involved, do something.
Genevieve, thanks so much, and certainly we'll have you on again before the election. Genevieve Martin is the Legislative Director of Right to Life of Michigan. RTL.org for all the information and ideas on how you can make a difference and get pro-life judges and pro-life officials elected. Also, check out their beautiful virtual fundraiser, which is We're Not Giving Up on Life, which is linked also to the homepage at RTL.org. We'll be right back.
It's Jeep Adventure Days at Pinckney Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Come shop their over 10 acres of loaded vehicles marked down to the lowest prices of the year. If you're in the market for a new vehicle and would love to be treated with dignity and respect, look no further. Pinckney Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram has payments as low as $199 per month on new 2020 Jeep Compasses, or $239 a month on 2020 Jeep Gladiators. Or get behind the wheel of a new 2020 Jeep Wrangler for as low as $212 a month. Come in and experience the difference during Jeep Adventure Days. Shop online at PinckneyChrysler.com.
Peace does not begin with presidents and prime ministers. It begins with you and me. What is peace? Where do I find peace? How can I be peace in this troubled world? Hi, this is Peggy Stanton. Please join me on A Place of Peace as we seek the answers to these timely and timeless questions. That's this Saturday on Ave Maria Radio at 11 a.m.
This is Father Frank Pavone of Priests for Life. The last Sunday of October is Priesthood Sunday. As we approach this day, Priests for Life conducts a special novena for all priests. I would like to invite you to send me your prayer requests for priests that you know. In particular, I would like to hear your favorite priest stories. At PrayerCampaign.org, we've set up a special webpage to enable you to send us your prayer intentions and favorite priest stories. Our priests rely on the prayers of everyone in the church. Let us pray in particular that they will not be afraid to address pro-life issues and speak out with vigor and compassion for unborn children. Priests need to know that each time they speak up for the unborn, lives will be saved. Join our novena at PrayerCampaign.org.
This is Father Frank Pavone on Ave Maria Radio.
Coming up, Dr. Ralph Martin kicks off our Faith versus a Feeling segments, and he'll be talking about his book, A Church in Crisis, and also about a powerful video he put out about the election. And then wrapping up with the president of Ave Maria University, hoping that you can join us on our post-election pilgrimage, putting on the Ritz in Naples, Florida. Plus you on a Thursday morning. St. Teresa of Avila, pray for us. Woohoo! Go, Amy Barrett. Coney Barrett, go. A little excited.